It gives me pleasure now to introduce as our speaker this morning, our brother and apostle in the Church of Christ, Brother Jay Moser.
Thank you, Don. Well, in a couple of days, I'll be heading down to Yucatan, and it's a pleasure to be able to speak one last time in English before I head off. I have a burden upon my heart today. Don't know if I'll be able to express it properly, but there's a burden that I have been thinking about and has been coming back to my mind and my heart for months. It just comes back all the time, and I want to talk about it today as best I can and to try and put some seeds in your heart. It was mentioned in Sunday school today. I believe Joel mentioned it. The things that are taking place right now and how we should not be too distraught. Maybe that was the word he used. I can't remember the words he used by what's going on. And we need to realize that we really don't know what's going to be happening. Certainly the people that were in New Orleans, there were people who had, as I tried to express here a couple of Sundays ago to some of our brothers and sisters that had just painted their homes. There were people who just got new jobs. There were people down in New Orleans who weren't bad. They were good people, probably. And even though we may feel the Lord moved upon that city and brought a great flood into that part of the world, to correct, everyone who was received the waters and the winds from that hurricane probably was not that bad a person. So what would happen? Yesterday I went to the hospital to see Hubert. And you all know what's happened to Hubert. He's got a broken leg. Things happen. They're talking about last week, the Secretary of Health for the United States came to Phoenix. I think it was last week. It wasn't last week. It was sometime in the recent past. He came to talk about what would happen. What is our plan if there is a pandemic in the world like the Spanish flu? And they keep looking at this H1 or whatever it is. I forgot. They've given it a number. You know, it's not really a name. But this bird flu that's around, what's going to happen? And we have no idea, really, what's going to happen, except by looking in the past. What will happen? So my subject today is going to be simply this, and that is that there is a great need for strength in this day. There's a great need for strength in everything that we do, in everything we face. We need strength. And so I want to tell you, you know, to quiet your minds in this day. Silence your worries and be still. Because the things that are coming, the things that have happened already, you know, we talk about this latter day and how, you know, things are mounting up. But, you know, all through history, things have happened to God's people. And the stories that are written in the Scriptures are about God's people and how most of them went through great, great stress. Many of them, tremendous problems. And you know, I have never experienced some of the problems and many of the problems that I read about in the Scriptures. But periodically in history, they come. I remember my Aunt Evelina talking about when she was a girl and the Spanish flu came, how in every home someone died. In almost every home. Well, it may not happen that way. But then again, we got the word just here recently at one of our brothers and sisters. I'm assuming it's a husband and wife because the name sounds so familiar, but I can't remember who they are. Was kidnapped in the Philippines. These things are going to happen. What will happen if these kind of things happen? That what we need is strength. You know, sometimes we live in this world where we're always trying to save one another. You know, to save them from the problem. And if something happens, well, I want to stop the problem. And that's not what God does. He doesn't do that. He saves people. But He saves them by making them strong. By making them able. Giving them power to go on. So let's consider those things. I want to look in the Book of Mormon. Here it talks about some of these problems in the Book of Mosiah. I would like to read in the first chapter of the Book of Mosiah. I want to read verses 17 to 21. It says this, "And moreover, I shall give this people a name, that thereby they may be distinguished above all the people which the Lord God hath brought out of the land of Jerusalem. And this I do, because they have been a diligent people in keeping the commandments of the Lord. And I give unto them a name that never shall be blotted out, except it be through transgression. Yea, and moreover, I say unto you, that if this highly favored people of the Lord shall fall into transgression and become a wicked and an adulterous people, that the Lord would deliver them up, that thereby they become weak, like unto their brethren. And He will no more preserve them by His matchless and marvelous power, as He hath hitherto preserved our fathers. For I say unto you, that if He had not extended His arm in the preservation of our fathers, they must have fallen into the hands of the Lamanites and become victims to their hatred." You know, there's a lot of talk today. There's a philosophy in the world about victims, and it's entered into the politics even of our country. And I don't want to get into politics, except that it's for some reason it is. You're either going to be victorious or we're all victims. We're victims of everything. Helpless, you know. Everything happens to us. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, it's the fault of society and the fault of everything. And I can't... There's a great fad. It's a mystery in the United States, and it's being spread all over the place. Maybe from the baby boomer generation. I don't know. But we've got... And I like some of these things. So, about self-help. You know, there's these self-help books. You can't comprehend the number of billions of dollars that have been made on self-help books. And who buys self-help books? Someone who bought one 18 months, within the last 18 months, is going to buy another one because they didn't get the answer to their self-help. They're still got the problem. They're still stuck. They got the self-help book, they read it, and found all kinds of answers, and they still got the problem. They're still stuck. So they buy another one, and another one. You know, I got a shelf at home about so wide with all these self-help books, you know, from psychology to whatever it is, you know. And the point that we need to be careful, it's not bad, you know. You look, well, I found some good ideas in this thing, but you know, at the same time, God is the answer. God is our strength, and in Him, we find what we need. So in life, you know, we're not here to find, to be successful. I'm not here. We're not here to make it, to get a good job. I know a lot of young people here want jobs. You want the best job, or you want to find a mate in life. That's what you want. But what you're here to do is to gain virtue. Virtue. Strength, courage, faith, hope, virtue. If you go through life and you're a pauper at the end of this life and you have virtue, you have won. You've won. But if you don't, you have nothing. virtue, to go through life and to gain virtue. Good things. As I look and I see a pattern, and it's too bad I haven't written it down, but you know, I see a pattern that in history and in my lifetime as well, going past my life and during my life, when people begin to think about the wrong things, the Lord changes what we're thinking about. And He changes everything in an instant. You know, you try and perfect your temporal life. If you try and perfect your health, you try and perfect all this kind of these things, we forget what we're here for, to gain virtue, to live with God, to gain the what we need to be like our Savior. Well, so this scripture illustrates, you know, you can be victorious in the strength of God, or you can become weak and become a victim. You can permit all the tragedies of life to make you a victim, or you can be victorious. But there are qualifications to that. I'm going to keep going here. I'm going to read another scripture in the book of Psalms. I think I have it just written here. Just one verse, Psalms 37, verse 39. Psalms 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, and He is their strength in the time of trouble. In a time of trouble. And you know, these words will not come back to God void. You will not find the help you need in every situation from a self-help book. You find it in God and in God alone. Nowhere else. He will not share His throne with anyone. He can't. He will not share credit with anyone. He is our strength in a time of trouble. I'm going to go again to the book of Psalms, and I'm going to read in chapter 34, a beautiful psalm. And I thought of Hubert as I read this, and I want to read it because it's got some beautiful thoughts in this chapter. I'm going to read the whole chapter of the 34th Psalm, 22 verses. He says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I want you to print that in your mind. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Now, he broke a bone yesterday. He's not talking about the bone of your leg, but the bone is a symbol of the strength that makes you stand up. And I have no fear whatsoever about, it bothers me that Hubert's lying over there and probably in pain. I don't like that idea. But, you know, there are some people when tragedy happens to them, I'm not worried about them. And there are others when tragedy happens to them, I pray for them. Don't let them be destroyed, because sometimes these people are that way. They have a tendency to let tragedy destroy their lives. But you and I know, don't we? Not to praise Brother Hubert, but I know this will not destroy him. Why? Because he's strong. His bones are strong. The thing that makes him stand up is strong. But there are people, are there not, and maybe right in this room, some tragedy like this happened. All their plans were changed in just an instant. He's not going to go to Alaska now. At least not right away. But I'm not afraid for him, because he's strong. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what God wants of us. He wants us to go through this life with the virtue of strength. Strength in him. To not be soon moved, but to be firm and to be strong. And sometimes it is the answer. It's not that the problem is taken away. The answer is strength. Not that problems be taken away. The answer is to be firm. That's the answer. I'm firm. I can stand it. I can go through life and suffer these things. And it goes on. Verse 20, he keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You know, he's talking about spiritual things, that God, it's the bones of the soul that he's talking about that will never be broken. Their spirit and their vitality for life, and though things happen to us that are, they're terrible, and there have been so many terrible things happen, and so many people who have been useful to God in the past. We read this about David. Well, what was David's life like? You know, it really was a very difficult life. It was very hard. It was a life where he ran and he was fearful all the time. He was fearful from his from Saul, that was trying to kill him, and other enemies. And his life was one of continual fighting and warfare. But he makes the statement about God saving their souls, not breaking their bones and keeping them strong and being with them and delivering them, because he knows for a fact that this is true. And David also wrote this in the book of Psalms, chapter 17, verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. And that's exactly the way his life was. For years and years he wandered in the desert, hiding, running from his enemies. But yet he wrote some of the most beautiful poetry in all of Scripture, what God has done. He starts off that verse there in Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. But he wept. There were times in his life when he wept and he cried sorely and bitterly. But he found strength. And he helped the Lord give birth to a nation. and that he did for God a great work. But you can't do it if you're weak. You can't do it. You've got to be strong. You can't be weak. I want to go again to the Book of Mormon. And you can turn to the Book of Helaman. And I want to read in chapter 2, verse 54 to 62. And it came to pass, because of the greatness of the number of the Lamanites, the Nephites were in great fear. You know, we can look at that today at what's happening in the world and the great number of people that would like to destroy us and mounting up everywhere. The Nephites were in great fear, lest they should be overpowered and trodden down and slain and destroyed. Yea, they began to remember the prophecies of Alma and also the words of Mosiah, and they saw that they had been a stiff-necked people and that they had set at naught the commandments of God and that they had altered and trampled under their feet the laws of Mosiah and that which the Lord commanded him to give unto the people. And thus seeing that their laws had become corrupted and that they had become a wicked people insomuch that they were wicked even like unto the Lamanites. And because of their iniquity, the church had begun to dwindle, and they began to disbelieve in the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation, and the judgments of God did stare them in the face. And they saw that they had become weak like unto their brethren, the Lamanites, and that the Spirit of the Lord did no more preserve them. Yea, it had withdrawn from them because the Spirit of the Lord doth not dwell in unholy temples. Therefore the Lord did cease to preserve them by His miraculous and matchless power, for they had fallen into a state of unbelief and awful wickedness. And they saw that the Lamanites, who were more exceeding numerous than they, and except they should cleave unto the Lord their God, they must unavoidably perish. For behold, they saw that the strength of the Lamanites was as great as their strength, even man for man. And thus had they fallen into this great transgression, yea, thus they became weak because of their transgressions in the space of not many years. And transgression does make us weak. It makes us weak. We've got to be strong. You know, there's an idea that I discovered here when I was doing this. It was one of the first things I just happened to stumble across when I was thinking about this. And I want to read it to you. And in the book of Jacob, I want to read one verse. Chapter 2, verse 50. O all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God and feast upon His love, for you may, if your minds are firm forever. Now I want to put forth this idea that, you know, a person, to be able to enjoy life, you have to be strong. You have to have a firm mind, or you can't even enjoy life. You've got to be firm in your mind. If you're vacillating all the time, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be miserable. And you've got to be firm. You've got to have a firm mind in the things of God to be able to feast upon His love. But it takes a certain amount. You've got to stand your ground. Stand your ground in things that are right and true and precious. You know, the Lord showed us many things that He had done by His example. Ways in which He was strong that we never really think about. So I'd like to read a couple of them and to explain to you what I see in them. First one I'm going to read from is in the book of Luke, chapter 22. And I want to read verses 42 to 45. Luke 22, 42 to 45. It says this, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. You know, he was still surrounded by the sorrow. He was surrounded by the inabilities of his disciples. He was surrounded by the fact that he was left alone. And he sweat great drops of blood in agony. But an angel came and strengthened him, and there was no other solution except strength. God didn't take it away. He didn't change it. Just strength. That's all that was given to him. He had to go on. He had to go on in that situation, or we would not be here today. Strength is the only solution in many things that we encounter in life. You know, and it takes strength to do nothing at some times. You know, there's a philosophy in the world today that we can change everything, and yet we can't. We absolutely cannot. We can't change everything. There's many, many things we cannot change. We can't do a thing about. But it takes a strength to know when those times are and to not do anything and to wait. To wait things out to see what the Lord is going to do. Another time here, which I find is kind of an interesting thing. I'm going to read in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 6 to 12. A different instance. Verse 6 in chapter 26. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Now, you know, you may be wondering what in the world I'm doing reading this. You know how many people, though, in this world have to do everything themselves? That's something Huber did yesterday, you know. He got off that roof by himself, more or less. I guess Isaac put a ladder there, but Huber carried himself off that roof yesterday when he broke his foot. And his son chastised him. Why didn't you call 911? That's what they do for a living. Maybe he made it worse. I have no idea. But still, you know, it takes another kind of a strength to let other people do things for you. And here, you know, this. I've thought about this woman, wondering what things about this story is so important that it would be told in all the world. You know, and I'm still praying about it to know everything. You know, there are some things that are written here. Well, she anointed him for his burial. You know, well, maybe that's an important thing. But would it have changed anything if she had not? Would anything in the gospel have been different if she had not? And perhaps maybe there was a prophecy about that somewhere in Scripture that he needed to be anointed before his death. But you know, I wonder what is the big deal? And what would have happened if she had not? Would anything have changed? And I really can't see that anything would have changed anywhere. It was something that the Lord permitted her to do. You know, sometimes it takes strength to permit someone else to do something for you. How many people do you know? Maybe you're one of those people. You don't have enough strength to let somebody else do something for you. You've got to do it yourself because basically you're proud. You've got to have it. You've got to do it. You know, you've got to do it. I just can't stand the thought of someone doing it, you know. Once in a while, you have to let somebody do something for you. And we find this when we go to places like Mexico and to Honduras. How important it is to let them do something for you. It is essential in life. And sometimes it takes great strength to do that. To let them give you what they have. Go to a home and all they have is tortillas and corn and beans and coffee, and there's nothing else in the house, and they're going to give it all to you. And it takes some humility to take it. But also an appreciation to permit someone else to do something for you. And maybe that's one of the reasons why that story needs to be told. I don't know. I don't know all the reasons why. But this story about this woman and this expensive ointment that she did, you know, I as I thought about that, how typical this shows the differences between men and women. This is so typical, if you think about it, you know. In this story, what they did was, of course, the men, I left that part out, but the men, you know, chastised her. You know, this box could have been sold for money. And it just goes back to this idea of a practicality and all this kind of stuff. And how many women, you know, I wonder if my wife would go look at a candle, a scented candle. I'm going, what is this all about? I could care less. But you know what? There's something here. There's something that meant something to her of this sweet-smelling, expensive oil. That meant something to her. And he let her do that. And he said, why are you troubling her? What? Shut up. And it takes some strength sometimes to let people be what God made them by nature. We're a little bit different, you know, in everything we do. And sometimes we just have to have strength and let somebody else do something for you or let somebody else be what they are. You know, I go to a smorgasbord or something and I'm dishing stuff on my plate. And when I get done, it looks horrible. It looks like wrath, you know. And someone else, they send it all out there so nice. And you go to some restaurant and everything's so pretty. Or your wife does sets thing out. And it doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm still happy either way. But it matters to other people. Things like this that we permit. Because we're strong, we let people do these things. And it makes for happiness. It makes for a happier, a nicer world when we permit those kind of things to take place. Another verse, two verses found in the book of John. Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 13 and verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, this is the woman at the well. You remember the story. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, as I thought about this, one of the things that the world thinks is strong is when, you know, you go, there's a saying, I got it written here, oh yeah, make it happen. You ever heard that? You know, make it happen. You know, here's this project, make it happen. Based on the proud thoughts of humanity. You know, we can make it happen. And the truth is, we can only make it happen if God permits it. But, so here this woman was seeking for her happiness and her peace of mind in all the wrong places. And everything that this world tells us is going to be make us happy. You know, and in her case, the lusts of the flesh, I guess that's what it was. And she was still finding thirst in her life after seven husbands or not finding her happiness or her peace. But what are the kind of things might be more applicable to you? I'll tell you one I think is really applicable to us. How many of you can't let it go? You start an argument and you can't let it go. And you keep going and you start your argument and you go on and on and on with your wife or your spouse or your loved one or the person you work with and you can't let it go until you win. And after you win, you're thirsty still. You can't satisfy that lust to win your argument. When you're done, you're still thirsty. You're not satisfied. If like a lust for blood. You can never get enough. You can never get enough. Why? Because you're strong in the things of the world and you're weak in God. You're not strong enough to be humble. You're not strong enough to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I'm never going to. I've told this I don't know how many times, but it just sticks in my mind the story that Andy Yates told me about his father punishing him one night because he had done something wrong, and he punished him and he scolded him all night long, and they went to bed and they woke up in the morning and he started at it again. And finally his wife said, "That's enough. You already scolded him. You already corrected him. It's over." But he couldn't let it go. It's human nature. You can't let it go. Why? Because it's dipping from the well of carnality in the human mind. It never makes you satisfied. Temporal perfection. You know, just getting everything just right, you know. It's never good. There's always going to be a speck of dust someplace. There's always going to be something imperfect somewhere, and you never, there's no satisfaction in these things in the end. Somewhere you've got to just let it go and go on in life. Trying to reconcile the world to yourself. You know, you get everything to fit, you know, and get all your ducks in a row, and that's really not what we're here to do. We're here to gain the strength that we need to live with God. I have a quote from someone. This is from a woman named Marilyn Vos Savant. She is recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records for the highest IQ. And she was responding to a young person's letter in a column that she writes called Parade. I don't know where it is. It was written March 2nd, 2003. But listen to this. It's important. Compared to the possibilities in life, the impossibilities are vastly more numerous. Now, that's not what you hear in the world today. That's not what my daughter was taught in school. That's not what I was taught in school. You can do anything. It is not true. It is a lie. So says the woman with the highest IQ that they know of. What I don't like to hear adults tell young people your age is that you can be president or anything else you want to be. That's not even remotely true. The truth is that you can run for president. And that's all. In our wonderfully free society, you can try to be just about anything, but your chances of success are another thing entirely. You know what? It takes a lot of strength to accept this statement. I can't do it all. And it's a matter of pride thinking that, you know, boy, if I could get up here and if I could just had studied a little bit more, I can change all of your minds and your hearts. I can't. It's a vanity. It's a vanity to think that we have the power over someone else. All we can do is be an instrument and do what God gives us to do. If He gives us to do, we can do it. But what we do have to do, we have to be firm as an individual to gain faith, to gain strength, to gain courage. To stand firm. I want to read a passage of Scripture found in the Book of Mormon about some of God's people. Who lived in the past. In 3 Nephi chapter 3, verses 10 to 18. But it came to pass in the 20th and 9th year, there began to be some disputings among the people, And some were lifted up unto pride and boastings because of their exceeding great riches, yea, even unto great persecutions. For there were many merchants in the land. Boy, we live in a day of many merchants now. That's what, you know, let's buy and sell real estate. We're all going to get rich. You know, that's what's, you know, that's how it's going to happen. You know, there's a book out everywhere about how you can get rich. And it's, you know, about buying real estate and borrowing money and how to do it and end up being the rich guy. And someone, somewhere is paying for that. Somewhere. It doesn't just come out of the air. It's not manufacturing a thing. But they're taking money from someone. And the people began, oh yes, and also many lawyers and many officers. And boy, that's our land today, isn't it? There's all kinds of people like that in the world today. And the people began to be distinguished by ranks according to their riches and their chances for learning. Yea, some were ignorant because of their poverty, and others did receive great learning because of their riches. And some were lifted up in pride, and others were exceeding humble. And some did return railing for railing, while others would receive railing and persecution and all manner of afflictions, and would not turn and revile again, but were humble and penitent before God. And thus there became a great inequality in all the land, inasmuch that the church began to be broken up. Yea, inasmuch that in the 30th year, the church was broken up in all the land, save it were among a few of the Lamanites who were converted unto the true faith. And they would not depart from it, for they were firm and steadfast and immovable, willing with all diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord. And I guess that's far enough. You know, it talks about how that these people were different. They were humble. They were meek, but they were firm. They were strong. That's another word for it. They were strong, immovable. They couldn't be swayed by the pressures outside. The pressure. And there's a great deal of pressure today to find position. And some of these people are, you know, like I say, some people in this world are going to live all their life. And when they get to the end of their life, they're not going to be successful at much of anything. Except they have the right and the privilege to gain the virtues, the Christian virtues, the things that are truly matter in life, that they can gain. And it's for everyone to have. And I like this one, another, just one verse. Now this was their faith. Of these of whom I have spoken, they are young, and their minds are firm. And they did put their trust in God continually. You know, that was talking about those 2,000 stripling sons. They're young, but their minds are firm. Well, I'm going to close. You know, there's a statement made, and I think there, you know, that I believe the things I'm talking about are things which we have choice about. You have a choice about whether you want to be strong. You know, but you have to have the Lord with you. And you have to seek Him to find that strength. And so that in that you have that choice. But you can't just decide you're going to do anything you want to do, because you can't. You can't. You'll do what the Lord gives you to do. But you have a choice to be happy. And you can be happy in the Lord even in all of the distresses and the trials of life, no matter how badly they get. And I guess I feel so that this is such an important subject, because I'm really not sure what's going to take place in the near future. Some things are going to happen in this world, and we need to be ready to be strong, immovable. What would happen? Think about it. Everyone, if that flu does break out. Now, they believe that they can, you know, the Secretary of Health was just showed this graph. He says, we know that if we don't do anything, it'll spike way up like this. And what we hope we can do is bring it in the middle somewhere. We can control it somehow, if it ever happens. And I don't know if it's going to or not, but it could. What are you going to do if your husband dies of this flu, your baby? We've got to be strong in this day. What will we do if I'm taken hostage in Mexico? You know, that's one of the places we don't worry about that too much, but it could start happening there. What will we do? We must be strong because we have a higher purpose in life. More so than just knowing where we're going. That's one of the things we struggle with. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to know where we're going. When really what we need is strength to face that, whatever it is. That's what we need. We need that strength. So I'm going to close with Psalm 46. Another beautiful psalm from David, who knew about trial and temptation and weakness and death and suffering and bitter tears. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth is removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted, and the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.